Every day, we hear about problems in our society, from entrenched homelessness, increasing despondency and the mental health crisis among our youth, rampant drug use and sexual chaos. And as we encounter these sad stories, we may not immediately connect these troubles to Bible prophecy and the end times, but these are warning signs that are multiplying all around us. The Bible has given us prophetic signs so that you and I can understand what's really happening in the world. So if you want to be prepared for coming events, and this is key, share the truth of the Bible with others, then lean in and listen today as we present a fascinating discussion of the signs of the times that are happening in our society.
That's right. You know, welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I am your host, Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and you just heard from my co-host, Nathan Jones. He's our Internet Evangelist. Our mission at Lamb and Lion Ministries is to study and understand Bible prophecy and to proclaim to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is returning soon. Now, Nathan, you said that there are signs in the Bible, and we have indeed ordered these signs into six distinct categories to help our listeners understand what they are and how they are unfolding today. Last week, we talked about the signs of nature. Today, we're going to talk about signs of society. And in the weeks to come, we'll touch on spiritual signs, both positive and negative, signs of world politics, signs of technology, and signs of Israel.
Today, we're going to do a deep dive into that second category, signs of society. Now, some of the most tragic and telling signs we're seeing are what we call the signs of society. They are particularly heartbreaking because they expose a culture that has rejected the truth of biblical Christianity, and it's hurtling headlong towards destruction in the end times. And we'll get into these signs of society in just a minute. But if you're curious about the other signs we mentioned, then go to our website at christinprophecy.org and listen to our earlier programs where Tim and I shared the details about the first sign, the sign of nature. And we hope you'll join us every week and as we focus one by one on each of these six signs of the times.
All right, it's going to be a challenging and eye-opening conversation today, and we'll get underway in just a moment. In the meantime, to learn more about Lamb and Lion Ministries, you can go to our website at christinprophecy.org.
Hi, this is Tim Moore with Lamb and Lion Ministries, inviting you to join me on a once-in-a-lifetime spiritual pilgrimage to Israel. This June, I'm leading a group of fellow pilgrims to walk where Jesus walked in the land of Israel. Together, we will experience the very places where Bible prophecy was fulfilled and discover how prophecy is being fulfilled today. Most trips to Israel turn out to be, well, just tours and nothing more. But this is a spiritual journey, an adventure. You're invited to come for spiritual purposes, to draw nearer to the Lord and to develop a better understanding of His Word. Take 12 days to discover Israel and walk where Jesus walked. For additional details and to register, go to christinprophecy.org/events. I'll hope to see you there.
Bible prophecy can be intimidating and even scary, but God has given us signs to help us understand what's happening and to prepare us for what's coming next. And that's our focus on Christ in prophecy, to help you understand what's going on from a biblical perspective. So today, we're going to talk about the signs of society, and sadly, these are the most tragic of trends. But as we seek to understand Bible prophecy, we'll also discover a powerful message of hope.
Yeah, but first the bad news, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in the end times, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And Nathan, he said that the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. So it's really not me bearing bad news, it's us bearing the truth of God's word. But let's just explore for a moment. What was it like in the days of Noah, since Jesus said the end of time would be much like that, Nathan?
Well, the times of Noah, which were obviously before the flood, were a time of lawlessness and a time of violence, extreme violence. Matter of fact, God saw all that He had created, and He wept over it. And so the question was, would God destroy all of nature and start over again? But no, He always preserves the righteous, and Noah and his family were righteous. So yes, to return to the times of Noah means to turn to a time of anarchy, a time of violence, a time of coldness towards one's fellow man. Similarly, in the time of Lot, Jesus also compared the time of Lot. Lot lived in Sodom, and so the Sodom and Gomorrah and the other towns in the Dead Sea area were increasingly wicked. Sexual immorality, inhospitality, and violence define these people, so much so that when Abraham begged God, preserve these people. Even if there's 10 righteous, there couldn't even be found 10 righteous, just Lot. So God destroyed them. We are nearing that level of corruption again.
We certainly are. I think over these last few years, there's not a week that goes by, Nathan, without yet another story in the news about mobs ransacking a store or pillaging or creating great havoc in our big cities and obviously impacting lives tragically. These are just indicators, and it just shows that we have lost a sense of civilized society even here in America, and yet that's exactly what the Lord foretold. So this is yet another sign. Even though it is bad news, it tells us that the Lord is coming soon.
Yes, and it, just like everything involved the Bible, there's prophecies about it. You can go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, where it says, "But know this, that in the last days," in other words, the days leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, "men will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving," and the list goes on, and it ends with having a form of godliness but denying its power. I can look at the news in society today, Tim, and it reads just like 2 Timothy 3.
It really does. And the other thing that we can witness before our very eyes is what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1, as God gives mankind over to the sins of his heart again and again because he rebels against God. The sad thing that Paul recognizes even in chapter 1, verse 21, is even though they, this being the world, knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That sounds like our society today.
And this immorality that we're seeing taking over society, Tim, you can even start seeing in the church. Just skip ahead to 2 Timothy 4, and Paul says to Timothy, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have," what? "Itching ears, they will do," what? "Heap further up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Brother, if anything, there's a fable. It's what we talked about in The Sign of Nature, the uniformitarianism, the idea that everything's been the same for millions and millions of years. This idea that evolution is a real thing, that God didn't create things, but things were created apart from God. That has infected society to the point where our society has become godless because they don't believe there's a creator anymore.
Exactly so. And going back to Romans 1, that's exactly what Paul said, that they would exchange, they being the wicked of the earth, the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-legged animals and crawling creatures. And so God gives mankind over to impurity in their hearts so that they are dishonored. Again and again, he gives them over. They begin to exchange the worship of God for a lie, and certainly our society has done that with its embrace of evolution, and God gives them over to degrading passions. And finally, because they are so caught up with the degrading passions of homosexuality, that's exactly what Paul is talking about, that God finally gives them over to a depraved mind. And certainly, Nathan, we've seen that just in recent years. We have a Supreme Court justice who, when asked at her own confirmation hearing, could not even define what a woman is, and yet she's a Supreme Court justice. Our society is modeling exactly what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1, and God is giving us over to this very depraved mind.
Yes, and it's be called abandonment wrath. When God places his judgment, it's not always direct like he intervenes, but sometimes he steps back and lets us fall into our own sin, and sin snowballs and gets worse and worse and worse, and it pulls each individual down, it pulls society down to the point where there's there's nothing left of society anymore, and it falls apart, and that's the position we're in now.
It really is. Our society seems to be fraying or coming apart at the seams. Folks, there's much more coming up about this topic, and many of you already recognize the very things we're talking about. But stay tuned, and next we'll look at what's going on in the world today and how it relates to our topic, the signs of society.
This world is the source of endless distractions and sinful enticements that assault our devotion to Christ. Scrolling through social media rarely improves your walk with the Lord. But knowing Bible prophecy can help you remember what endures. Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. So to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free Lamplighter magazine. You can easily sign up to have Lamplighter magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
Well, welcome back to a feature we call What's Really Going On. Nathan, we'd like to talk about current events from a biblical perspective. Obviously, many signs of the times manifesting on the very headlines of newspapers and in news and TV all around us.
Yes, it's really disturbing when you look at the signs of society that are always battling out there. I get two interesting articles. One's from Decision Magazine. It reads, Supreme Court hears pregnancy center's case as New Jersey state government takes aim at pro-life groups. So, Tim, especially in New Jersey, and I know you're very familiar with the pro-life movement in Kentucky, but in New Jersey, they're constantly battling the government, the attorney general's office. The head of the pro-life group there says our state's government has done everything they could to make New Jersey a sanctuary state for abortion. Since pregnancy centers like ours do not perform or refer for abortion, we are targets for a government that disagrees with our views. Tim, we have our own government fighting to help people kill babies. What kind of society is that?
You know, it's a society that is sick to the core. And frankly, we could say this is only half of the society. We know this has been an agenda of the Democratic Party. And folks, we don't mean to be political here on our commentary, but it's very clear that is a plank of the Democratic platform. They're gleeful about that particular horrible practice that is multiplying in our country, especially with some states, as you say, Nathan, declaring themselves to be sanctuaries or even destination tourist sites to go and have an abortion. They'll even pay for you to come. There is such a culture of death, and it's seeping beyond even one particular party. It's becoming cultural.
Oh, yes. And that's why I have another article from Harbinger's Daily. Assassination culture poses a grave threat to the moral and social fabric of America. Tim, we saw that Luigi Mangione, he had attacked and killed a CEO, Brian Thompson, a healthcare provider. He shot him with a gun he made. Would you believe that he's been given $1.36 million in donation to his defense fund by what's called an assassination culture, a culture that believes it's okay to kill the people that disagree with you ideologically? It says justifications like these are a product of assassination culture, an ideology which accepts and glorifies political violence against the rich, powerful, and politically conservative. In other words, Tim, they're saying it's right to murder for your cause. Again, is that a biblical view?
No, that's not a biblical view. It's a horrific view. It's a satanic view. And yet that's exactly what we saw, Nathan, this past year as people were celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Even in the late part of the year, December, there was a leftist social influencer who said basically we need to kick Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, to the curb and basically denounced her in the most horrific manner. And even some who would be farther left by far than you and I were saying that's just that's too much. You can't pile on a widow. But it is this same attitude of hating those who would disagree with you, even to the point of wishing them ill or wishing them dead. And Nathan, let's be clear. We disagree with much of what's happening in the world, but our motivation is loving those who are the enemies of Christ, who would be our enemies because Christ came while we were yet his enemy. And so that's our goal, is to share the truth so that souls may be saved. I'll give you one other example. Just in late 2025, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, was trying to oppose an effort to expand military benefits to include abortion and in vitro fertilization. You think, well, in vitro fertilization, that would be so helpful for a couple, a rightful couple that just can't have a baby naturally. But it comes with all sorts of risks. And Nathan, the folks pushing this are not really worried about that heterosexual couple. What they're trying to do is promote homosexual childbearing by two men, by two women, using whatever means possible. The cost is absolutely astronomical, and the moral perils are tremendous. And yet that's what those, again, with an ungodly worldview are pushing, whether it's death or whether it's promotion of practices that are contrary to biblical worldview.
Yes, and that's what's really going on. But what's also really going on is the fact that when the Lord returns to set up his kingdom on this earth, these social things that we talk about, this culture of death and violence, will be gone. We'll have a culture of peace and righteousness and justice.
Oh,
Tim,
wait.
I long for those days when we can be in that true culture, a culture ruled and reigned by the Messiah.
I can't wait either, Nathan. And as a matter of fact, that's what we're talking about today, is the signs of society pointing to the soon coming of our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who will set up his millennial reign. Stick with us, and we'll be right back.
There's a simple key to understanding Bible prophecy, and it's found in Revelation 19:10, which says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Everything God has revealed in the Bible points to Jesus, from the beginning to the end times. Indeed, all of human history is His story. And the future is His as well, because Jesus is returning soon. Find out more when you go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Welcome back. We're talking today about the signs of society, and we started the program today with bad news about the breakdown of our society, even here at home in the United States of America. And we can look back and see the rise of evolution, secularism, the sexual revolution, and the breakdown of the family, not to mention the whole LGBTQ and transgender confusion. And frankly, we haven't even hit rock bottom yet, because things will get worse as God judges the nations that turn their back on Him. But recall also that at the start of this program, we promised there would be a message of hope. So keep listening to hear what God wants Christians to know about the future. On that note, Nathan, give us some encouragement.
Well, we could become like two old men in rocking chairs at the nursing home complaining about the youth of these days, how bad society's gotten, and what would be the point? We're not solving it. So, folks, we want you to know the answers, and the answer is Jesus Christ. Turning to Jesus Christ in repentance changes a person, changes their outlook on things, and that's what Satan hates. That's why Satan is trying to destroy our society, because he wants to uproot from the Judeo-Christian values we have, and the followers of Jesus Christ are silenced because he wants to put in his global government, his anarchy. And that's going to come in time, but for now, as Christians, we stand up for what's right. So first, we got to know that God judges the nations. You can look back where the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God destroyed a people that had gotten so evil that they were considered worthless. They were so corrupting that they couldn't be in there anymore. So we know that God just doesn't sit out and let evil flourish. He will at some point step in and deal with it the way he deals with things.
And you know, Nathan, we have to remind ourselves that God doesn't just judge those nations that are pagan and against him from the get-go. He also judged Judah and Israel because they strayed from the truth of his revelation, and they were not upholding the covenant that he had made with them. I dare say that God holds to a higher standard those nations that once knew truth and yet have turned their back on it. And that doesn't bear well for us because, you know, the question is, will America be judged like pagan nations? I believe America will be judged more severely because, you know, when I was a kid, Nathan, my parents used to say I would get in trouble, and I would tell my parents, I should say, well, my buddies are all doing the same thing. And my parents would say, I don't know about your buddies, but you knew better. And so I was the one who got in trouble. I was held to a higher standard. I think God would say to us who claim to be a Christian nation, at least at one time, you knew better, and therefore it will be a higher bar of accountability for America.
I think a good example is the United Kingdom or Great Britain. In the 1800s, it was the major impetus for gospel missionary to go out into the world and share the gospel. And the sun never set on the British Empire. It was everywhere. But after the 20s, or World War I, I should say, when they started ignoring God and abandoning their Judeo-Christian background, the empire fell apart. So we're not saying that God is going to destroy a nation, boom, in one day. I mean, he could. We could face an economic collapse or a major natural disaster, but he also lets them waste away. And we've seen many empires waste away, even the Roman Empire, which was around for 1,000 years because of internal rot. And Tim, that's why I think what's happening to America, it seems like in the last 30, 40 years, we're continuing to waste away by rot, and that's because it's God's abandonment wrath.
It certainly is. And so you can say, well, where's the hope in this, fellas? I thought you were going to give us some encouragement in this particular segment.
Yes, yes.
So how can Christians live in these challenging times? I would dare say the first is to recognize the hope that we have as the remnant who is still here. You know, Elijah one time became very discouraged because he thought he was all alone. He went out and began to have a pity party, and the Lord had to tell him in 1 Kings 19, no, you're not alone. There are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knees. That is why we need to stay united with other Christians in a local church, being involved in a Bible study so that we can give mutual encouragement to one another. I have a son who flies fighter aircraft, and he would never go into combat solo because they need two airplanes to encourage and to support one another. We need other Christians to support us, encourage us, and for us to be able to pour into. And we also know that there are still faithful people in America. I've liked to say for many years, having served in a number of realms, there are Christians in government, there are Christians in the military, in academia, in business, and even in most churches. Nathan, there are Christians. That's a joke. Uh-huh. But the point being that we are sprinkled and scattered, and we need to seek each other out and encourage one another. Obviously, Dr. Reagan's book, Living for Christ in the End Times, available at our bookstore at christinprophecy.org, gives some very specific encouragements for people looking to know, how can I be hopeful even in the midst of gathering gloom?
Absolutely. One of my favorite verses, Tim, is Habakkuk 2:4, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Who are the just? The ones who follow the Lord. They live. They don't hide. No, they live. And they live by what? Faith in God. We can also look 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6. "You are sons of light." In other words, we take our light and we shine it out into the world. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. He will return for us. He will end this global human government that's failed and set up his kingdom." Well, there's just so much more we could share about the signs of society. So to get more information, visit our website at christinprophecy.org or download our Lamb and Lion app. When we come back, Tim's going to close out today's program with some final words of great encouragement. Well, folks, if you've been blessed by Christ in Prophecy Radio, we ask you to partner with us. We call these prophecy partners because we have a prophetic message: the soon return of Jesus Christ. Lamb and Lion Ministries exists to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We believe that when people are excited about the Lord's soon return, they do three things. One, they're called to holy living. Two, they go out and evangelize the world. And three, they have hope for the future. If you want to have holy living, evangelism, and have hope, then join Lamb and Lion Ministries in proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. We want people to be blessed like you've been blessed. So check out our website, christinprophecy.org, hit donation or donor at the top of our website, and you will know how to become a prophecy partner. You'll get a letter from Tim periodically, our Lamplighter magazine, and many other benefits that help you partner with us in getting this special message out. Please join us today.
Well, folks, today we've referred several times to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul tells my namesake, Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come. He went on to describe just what those difficult times would entail. I think all of us would say by our own affirmation, yes, difficult times have come. It's getting darker and darker day by day. But Nathan already read to us 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6, where Paul says, "You are sons of light." Well, what does light do? It shines in the darkness. And indeed, light shines all the brighter as darkness grows deeper. It's hard to see a flashlight in the day, but when it's pitch black, you can see a candle from miles away. We have the true and living light. We have the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shining in our hearts and radiating outwards, if we'll let him. So this is not a time for us to be discouraged. It's a time for us to be missional and intentional about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we talked about how America is growing darker and darker day by day. I would dare say that those who like to say this is a Christian nation need to step back and ask, is it still? I don't believe so. I certainly think it's an insult to Almighty God to claim to be a Christian nation, because when you look at how wayward our leaders, our institutions, and our culture is, certainly God would not approve of so many things that we are trending toward or already celebrating and encouraging others to celebrate. Wickedness at every turn. And so instead of putting our trust in our nation, instead of tying our eternal hope and encouragement to what is happening in America, we need to take an eternal perspective and realize that only in God, only in Jesus Christ, can we have a blessed hope. Don't look around and be discouraged. Look up and be encouraged. Watch for the Lord's soon return. In 1 Thessalonians 5, back to verse 5, Paul also said, "You are not in darkness. Again, you are sons of light." So don't let the darkness overwhelm you. Today, I would encourage you, if you're not already plugged into a church, find one. If you're not already plugged into a Bible study, start one. And be that beacon of hope in other lives around you that are groping about in darkness. Be that beacon of truth for so many who don't know the Lord as the way, the life, and the truth, and the source of all light. We hope that you'll join us again next week and hope that we can provide encouragement to you regarding the spiritual signs that are manifesting all around us. But today, as we close out a section on the signs of society, I just would tell you, yes, I'm a grateful citizen of the United States, but my citizenship is in heaven. And for that, I'm eternally thankful. On behalf of Lamb and Lion Ministries and Christ in Prophecy Radio, this is Tim Moore saying, Godspeed.